JG 1. Number 9B.
All right, now we'll take these references to IDEA that we have in our study questionnaire. I'm starting on page 8. 8 in the questionnaire. And here I have just said that we have seen that all reality consists of infinite principle in its infinite idea. Through the study of the seven synonymous terms for God, we have become familiar with infinite principle. But do we comprehend what infinite idea is? Let us make a thorough analysis of the term idea from the textbook. For this purpose, all the reference to idea in Science and Health are given. We can analyze these references in two ways. A, how is idea characterized in each chapter of the textbook? Study the references for idea in each chapter and ask, which specific characteristic of the idea is emphasized in each chapter except glossary? This shows us how each chapter brings out a different characteristic of the term idea. B, what is a general analysis of the nature of idea? The answers to the following questions can be found in the textbook. Point 2. There's an important difference between the meaning of the idea, which cannot be put into the plural, and ideas. Can you discern spiritually this difference and define what it is? So now we have seen what it means that the infinite universe is all as infinite mind in its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all, and this isn't just intellectual. We just don't say, well, I know that. This isn't anything new. I've seen that before. This is life experience. We have to take it out of the intellectual and put it into our life experience. That's something that is always new, always fresh. You know what's so wonderful about these people like Harman, in that they said they were always looking for something very complex, but they begin to realize that the spiritual is simple. And Max has always says, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. It's simple. It is an idea that has to be lived. Where this idea is lived in our life experience. If we're expressing this idea as the image and likeness of God, that's our responsibility. So we aren't being the image and likeness of God in intellect, where the intellect thinks it grabs it with its mind. That's mentalism. That's just a studying. We might as well go off and study any subject that we can get with our human mind. This subject is through thinking and past thinking into being itself. It's irrational. We're just seeing these symbols in order to culture consciousness, so we go back by the symbols into being. So the proof of the pudding is in our life experience. Are we experiencing the fact that every single day we are able to focus on the fact that it's perfect God, perfect man, and that it's our responsibility to reflect that principle? Do we feel that we are reflecting that principle in every aspect of our lives, in every aspect of our relationship with the family, with the business, or within the community, within the nation, within the universe? Then we can feel pretty self-confident, I guess, that we understand or know, quote-unquote, the idea, though it is beyond intellect. I think what I always admired about Max was that Kapler and these teachers in science was the great humility, where he would say that every year he would go back through the textbook again and again over the same thing, going over those references to what mind is, to what spirit is, to what soul is, to what principle, life, truth, and love is, and just loving it. And out of that loving it, he said, came something new. If we're faithful over a few things, this makes us ruler over many. It's that love. of what we already know that takes us farther. He couldn't have said it more, and even in private conversations he reiterated it to us many, many times. Don't always go for the new vision. Don't try to be original. Go over what you know and love it and love it. He would say, that's what I did, and that's how the idea was given birth, huh? Within his consciousness. It's loving what we know, not loving what we don't know, or wanting what we don't know, wanting always more, 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 more. So that's how we begin to see that if we are loving what we know, is it unfolding in our life? Is it having reflection in our life? Do we love the fact that we can see what we know in science operating in every sphere of our activity? This is the genius of the Christ idea, that great sense of humility in front of a spiritual idea. So we always want to remember that what is reality? We're learning what reality is, but also how do I become one with that reality? There's where the proof is. That's how we judge it. We judge on the mental level things differently than in the spiritual. In the spiritual, again, it's the how do I become one with reality. That's the most important thing. We gain the exact letter and we imbibe the spirit. Both of those make us go forward in Christian Science. This is the science of being. It's not the science of intellect. That's what's important. Otherwise, the subject just will fall flat. It's just going to be another ism and ology, and it just will not, as Max say, cut in the ice. So we see then this whole sense that we always are keeping then, the concept, what is reality as we study? How do I become one with it as we look at this concept of idea? Now, first of all, if we take a general look at what we gathered from these references to idea, before we take the exact questions, I want to just kind of go over the general tone of what ideas are, and then we'll go through the specific questions. Generally, what we can see in the textbook is that an idea is infinite. That means that an idea has no quantity. No quantity. It is not a lot of it or a bit of it. It is infinite. It exists as a quality in mind. Huh? An idea is infinite. It's not confined in any way. It has no limit to what it can do. Therefore, and an idea is not only infinite, but idea and ideas are timeless and spaceless in that fourth dimension of spirit. They're not here and they're not there. They're not then and they're not now. They just are, huh? I guess the closest we could say is they're now. But they really are. They just are. Like Mrs. Eddy says, it's not even to express love that brought about the healing. It was love. Ideas, she says, make up the realm of ideas, or the field of ideas. And in that, she'll say, the universe is filled with spiritual ideas. Or infinite space is peopled, meaning filled, with God's ideas. And ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity. Or she'll talk about how the ideas reflect the whole range of being, meaning they reflect the whole system of the seven and the four and the four. Therefore, the ideas, as they reflect the seven, shows that they obey the laws of mind. They unfold in the order of spirit. They are subject to the divine rules of soul. They are gathered together into a coherent system of principle. They are instantaneously available everywhere. They can combine always in a new, healthy form of truth. They always fulfill a divine purpose, love. So we see that ideas are always defined through the synonymous terms. That's how we define an idea. We can't define an idea in any other way. There's no human concept or in the dictionary or any place we'll define what ideas are. Ideas can only be defined through the synonymous terms, through mind, through spirit, through soul, through principle, through life, through truth, through love. That tells us what an idea is. Then the four, what does that say that ideas are? The fourfold operation says that ideas are self-operating, self-organizing, self-regulating, in an error-correcting, error-preventing, error-correcting feedback system. So the operation is irresistible and irrepressible, she shows. Therefore, reflecting the four, the ideas are, she says, omnipotent, the word, all-powerful. Ideas are omniscient, all science, the Christ, has to do with science, reducing them to their point. They are always present, love. And they're always, or the Christianity, love. And they're omniactive, science. And in divine science, the ideas, there we can see, she takes that then from the point that idea is always from the infinite one, science itself, which includes its idea, comes one principle and its idea, the universe, and this one remains principle, and on absolute Christian science, and their rules and laws as a calculus of ideas. So on divine science, we have idea, as we'll see, on absolute Christian science, ideas. That means that that one principle on divine science appears singularly as the idea universe. But that one principle infinitely individualizes itself and adapts itself to a specific situation in many ways, hence it appears as ideas. Many forms of that principle, yet still remains principle. And on absolute Christian, and on Christian science and their demonstration, and these ideas resolve illusions. So we see then that those ideas are reflect the whole range of the seven and the four and the four, as shown in the textbook. She says that these, that the ideas are self-conscious. That's a big point then, as we saw that Wheeler was seeing in relationship to the universe, meaning that if God knows himself, Mrs. Eddy says, or itself, then ideas know themselves. Because ideas know themselves, they know God. Because ideas are just God in operation. Therefore, all there is God knowing itself. And that sense of God being conscious of itself seems to be what they're seeing today, and I reverse it. I like this way a lot better than the way they show it. I want it backwards, thank you. I think it's better. Because it shows one can, would rather start here, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. So therefore, if we just using this as a symbol that Wheeler shows, that if this takes the point of the word, God, that declares what it is, and through the Christ operation and its translation and retranslation brings out what it is as man and the universe, which is only principle and its idea, that man in its universe is just God in operation. It's really God knowing itself. Therefore, that universe, Wheeler says, looks back at its origin. It's conscious of its origin. Well, that is just God idea conscious of its origin. God knowing itself. And that seems to be the purpose of the universe, they say, is that self-consciousness, the looking back and being conscious of its origin, being conscious of itself. And that is the big point that Mrs. Eddy brings out, that God knows itself, is conscious of itself. Otherwise, she says that if God didn't... How does she say that about God not being expressed is... Well, I guess what Jean says is still the best. Love unexpressed is not love. It has to be expressed to be known. How would we know just the infinite one on the science level, that infinite realm of possibilities, that latent realm of possibilities, if it didn't have an expression? So that's the office then of ideas to express God. She shows that ideas are beyond the question of good and evil. They just are. It's the closest we could say is good. She shows then that ideas are impersonal. They don't belong to anybody. Thank goodness. They belong to being alone. You know, there's a time when artists didn't sign their work. They just did it and figured that it was dictated to them by God. It only later on came that this sense of personal, this is mine and you heard it first from me, business came in with the discovery of the I or ego, I guess in the Iliad, Odyssey, when, is it Homer that says I? The I comes out at that time. That the ego becomes important, which is fine because the individual expression becomes conscious of itself. But we see that the idea now gives its identity back to principle. So I think Jean was asking me after class, you know, what just how we were thinking about, and we were just talking together about it, the idea would come to the world. Well, in talking it out, we both could see how Mrs. Eddy shows in the sixth chapter where they asked her, will this idea come through the churches? And she says, well, it will come according to God's appointing. And then she says later on, generic man will lead on the centuries. So what we can see is that these law of life, truth, and love with its inner acceleration, its inner logic, its inner goal-directedness is sweeping down the century. It's thinking the individual, and therefore Jesus responded at the 5,000-year period at the point of the individual. That's the point of life, individuality. And he was the individual representative of the idea. So the idea and Jesus were one at that point. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The symbol and reality were the same at that point. But when we came to the 6,000-year period, we see we went into the age of absolute Christian Science, truth, the collective, where instead of Christ, Jesus was the symbol in reality, and the individual was the Savior, and the individual brought the idea to the world, so to speak, as a symbol. It was a science, where that science could be learned by the collective. And therefore the collective learned the idea and had the responsibility for the idea. But as we go on into the realm of love, of divine science, that is the universal. And therefore it's the universal's response to the idea. And here we have the sense is that divine science ushers this into being spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately all over the globe. Where no one will take the responsibility and say, I brought it to the world. If you heard it first from me, It will take away that sense of a personal revelator. Mrs. Eddy said, revelators will come, but they won't be deified. Therefore, she says, generic man will lead on the century. This idea is in the world, and it isn't so far off that they aren't going to be so clever to see that the human mind is causing the holographic universe, and what is the real universe? They already call it an illusion. Therefore, going on to see what is the principal idea universe, and therefore seeing that it's all impersonal. So it looks like the idea is here, it is coming, and it's coming impersonally to everyone, everywhere, at one go, to generic man. Thank goodness. She says that principle and idea is one. Meaning Emmanuel, God with us. Meaning that idea is the operation of God itself. That sense that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, then that's divine science. And then in showing that principle and his idea is one through the seven, she says that the power of an idea is the power of the infinite one. The substance of the idea is the substance of the infinite one itself, because principle and idea is one, and this one is principle. Therefore, the blessing of an idea is a blessing of the infinite one. The demonstration of an idea is a demonstration of the infinite one. The life of an idea is the life of the infinite one. The health of an idea is the health of the infinite one. The wholeness of an idea is the wholeness of the infinite one. We say, fine, I know that. Do we in practice? I think of when people call in practice and the claim is they're going to pass on. Is there the possibility in healing that do we know this intellectually and we get bored hearing it again and again? Or are we so happy to know that when in practice, that the claim is death, and we say, no, no, that's the claim of reversal, but we take for that person what we think we know, and we've repeated so many times to ourselves that, gosh, just think that the power of this idea is the power of the infinite one itself. Therefore, it's just mine, never losing sight of mine. And the substance of this idea, man, is the substance of spirit being its own infinite spirit. And the identity of this idea is the identity of soul being its own infinite soul. And the operation of this idea is the operation of principle being its own infinite principle. And the life of this idea is the life of that life being its own infinite life. And the health and form of that idea is the health and form of truth being its own infinite truth. And the plan of this idea is here and now to be in the plan of love, being its own infinite love. And the thing is, in the divine science, we say this idea is an ever-present possibility here and now. Beloved, now are ye the Son of God. And in divine science, love never loses sight of loveliness. Therefore, if it's mind being its own infinite mind and expression, then mind never loses sight of mind. And spirit never loses sight of spirit. And soul never loses sight of soul. And principle never loses sight of principle. And life never loses sight of life. And truth never loses sight of truth. And love never loses sight of love. You see, that's Christian Science practice. That takes it out of the realm of intellect. And this is where the job is done, huh? It says that ideas impact on mortal mind. Well, we know that those ideas cause the mortal beliefs to go through a phase transition, to come out of what they, a false definition, through a transitional stage of the mental into the true definition of what they are as ideas, that translation and retranslation going on. Therefore, she shows ideas dissolve illusions. That was the main point that I got generally from ideas. reading through it generally, is there anything else you would like to add to the general impression that you could see that Mrs. Eddy was bringing out concerning idea? Okay, then we'll go on with these questions. And let's then take a look. I'd like to take 1B, first of all, just to build up a understanding of idea, and then come back to the ideas as we see it in the textbook itself. So we'll take 1B to begin with. So I asked there, what is a general analysis of the nature of idea? The answer to the following question can be found in the textbook. Therefore, how is idea defined in the textbook, should we say?
Different in each chapter.
Okay, yes, but let's just give a definition as she said it. I heard somebody, it is different, but we'll take that, Ellen, absolutely. We're going to show how she defines it differently in each chapter. That's point 1A. We'll do 1B now, okay? All right. So how is idea defined? I heard somebody say... an image in mind. And therefore, do we feel that we understand now what it means to be an image in mind? Can we see that, what does image mean? Did that explanation of a holographic universe help to see what an image is? That it's a reflection? It's an image in mind? That means that mind produces its image, doesn't it? Which is a pure reflection, idea, or a hologram, huh? And that image exists where? In mind, doesn't it? Now, can that image be destroyed by itself? Can we destroy the image? No. Because we can't destroy mind God. And by image in mind, is that a small mind or is that a capital mind, Sharon? Capital mind. So as Sharon says so rightly, Mrs. Eddy defines idea as an image in capital mind. And it never can be destroyed, can it? Because it's an image. Doesn't that make sense? So if it's perfect God, it's perfect man.